Well, good morning to each one of you here. It's a blessing to hear you all sing and praise the Lord this morning. Thank you for that children's lesson. It was very good for me. We get up every morning and we get patterns in our life, and you don't realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Well, it was good to be here, see all your faces here again. I just maybe feel like we should pray here this morning before I begin. Let's just bow our heads here and pray. Yes, Lord God Almighty, we do bow before you here this morning. We thank you, Father, for your love for us this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us our sins through the blood of Christ. We pray, Lord, as we gather here, that as we look into the your word that abides and endures forever, Lord, that we would, that you might grant us understanding and humility, as we know that your word is forever settled in heaven. And I pray, Lord, that it would be hid in each one of our hearts, that we might walk according to thy will in the light that you've shown us. And Father, we do pray that you would bless this congregation as brethren, Lord, in the Lord, that we could be an example of the goodness of God in this community that we live in, and not just here, Lord, but in all parts of the earth, that you might take each one of us. I pray, Father, for strength here to preach this morning, that we would remember that it's not the messenger, Lord, but the message, and we would abide in your word, Lord, as we could be hearers and the doers of your word, Father. We thank you for your goodness toward us, and we pray that you would bless the children today, and help us all understand our calling and in life, and that we could make that sure, Lord, according to thy word and will. We ask these blessings of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been here, but it's not because I didn't want to be here or anything, but it's a good to be here again and in front of you. But we had the opportunity here last week to, Caleb and I, to spend a few days in Haiti and with Brother Barry and Sister Julia, and it was a good experience again. And I came home with a little bit of a burden on my heart, just to, it seemed like one of the things we see there that is rampant, and I sometimes wonder if we take our responsibilities serious enough as fathers. Today's Father's Day, and I want to talk just a little bit about that, but not too much. But when you go to Haiti, you can be overwhelmed, and I do pray for Barry and Julie. I believe that the Lord has them there for now, and I come back with the thought of Mary, where she knelt in front of Jesus there, and she just, Jesus commended her for this one thing, that she done what she could. So that is what, you know, I feel Brother Barry there is doing what he can, and I believe the Lord will bless that. But what I see there is I got a little bit of different picture of some things, in the fact that this might be a stretch, but I believe it's a truth that a high percentage of the Haitians, even in the mountains or in the city, Port-au-Prince, wherever, a high percentage of them don't know who their father is. And I asked Barry about that, and he said, that's true. So, and then if you have that concept, it's not just a year old, it's 200 years old, if not more, that principle. And so it's a departure from God's plan for the family. And I looked into the scriptures just a little bit, very familiar verses here. You have to excuse me today, I have a little bit of a sore throat. But it became clear to me that if, you know, that when that is lacking, the situations worsen. They don't get better, unless men are willing to look at the Word of God. And I believe the thing that I also came home with was that there's more people in the world living in those conditions than are in the conditions that we live in. You know, the conditions that we live in are only in a few countries, if I could say United States, Canada, most of Europe, some of Russia, but for the most part, South America, and those, they have people living in the mountain regions, and it is interesting when you drive in the mountains that there's people everywhere. You stop the car, they just come out of nowhere, and they're living there. And but by the same token, is they've adapted well to their circumstances. They're not starving. God has provided food for them. They go about to gather in a different way than we do, but they're surviving and surviving well. However, that principle of not knowing who your father is one of the biggest lacks in that land, is what I see. So as I looked in the scripture, the Psalm 127 came to my mind. We all know that verse. And then it became clear that Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." I don't know what all of you think about when you think of that verse. He's speaking in the Psalms there about a family life and how God designed it, and God's design is perfect, and when we depart from that, the grief just explode. You know, there's except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You know, the Lord, so in the building of that house, I believe that God would have us in everything that we attempt to do to make sure that our end goal is to glorify God, which is in heaven. If we have that heart, the Lord grants us the grace and the strength to build a house. And if we have different motives than that, which when you come or are in a land of Haiti, you can see that for the most part, they have no intentions of glorifying God. It's not there. But it's easy to get that way in this country with all of our stuff and things. Like James shared this morning, we can take everything that the Lord has granted us and forget to where it came from. And I'm first of all in that. You know, we wake up in the morning, we eat, we have it, we get it, we go get it, and we do it again the next morning. We don't even think that it was only the Lord's goodness that allowed us to have that. So as we look in the scripture, each one of us is at a different place in life, not a whole lot different, but that God has granted each one of us in this house a calling. And, you know, what is my role in the calling of building my house? You know, I'm, by God's grace and mercy, I'm a father and a husband and a minister. Now, I would just like to... Now, what does the Bible say about that? A father, a husband, and a minister. We can learn from those things that God would give us direction to fulfill those responsibilities. Now, there's some of you that are in here that are not married. You're young men. What does God have to say about to you that you might fulfill your calling? The biggest thing he says to young men, as I see a thread run through Scripture, is that you should be sober. Something that the world is not sober anymore. They want to laugh away everything. He calls the young men to be sober. What about our wives, sisters? He has specific callings for older sisters, specific callings for younger sisters. The scripture teaches us that we might have a sure foundation and a hope that endures until the end if we're willing to look into the scriptures of where God has me in my life and what goes with my calling. The Lord is specific. Where are you at in life? What does the scripture say about it? So, and I look at, and then he says, You know, he talks about this the first verse here. He says, except the Lord keep the city. You know, if we're willing to submit or surrender our hearts to God's word in these areas, he keeps our city. He protects us. And then, but what I see there is that the watchman waketh but in vain. You know, there's in the cities of old, they had watchmen that looked out. And today we could liken that as dads in the house, keepers of the, where each one of us is a householder. But if we're not, if we don't build according to God's specs, we labor but in vain. The watchman, and I also think about, in the next verse it says, and how much of this do we see? We live in a middle of an Amish community here where he says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And we see a lot of men working hard. They go to their grave working hard. I'm not against hard work. But we see men that they rise up early and they go to bed late and they work hard in between. But if it's not for the glory of God, it's in vain. It's that simple. And while we can accomplish much by men's standards, is it going to amount to anything on the day of judgment? You know, we have the word of God here that it will be the bar where every man is examined by, of how we dealt with his blessings. I believe that if we could, it takes the first thing, if we want to build the house, except the Lord build the house, we have to cooperate with God. We have to submit ourselves to his way. We have to be partners with him, and he's willing. He wants to be, it says in, back to, you know, our calling, you know, what does God have for me? You know, he has some that he might call to Haiti. He has some that he might call to the Philippines. He has some that he might have minister in this community. You know, I think, in my heart, I feel that that's where we're lacking as a whole, is ministering where the door, where the Lord opens doors right here. See, I think about when God, when Paul, when he planted churches, he traveled, but in the end, it was churches touching one another. It was they had physical connections because they couldn't fly to the next land. They connected physically, and they were effective to where God had planted them. That's what God calls us to do, to be effective where you're stationed in your lot, in your calling. See, that's where I think we have that principle that we build according to the Lord's specifications. That's how we build the house. I believe that God will multiply that. So I came home with that burden, how that if and I expressed that to some of those, because at church there at Barry's on Sunday, there was men and women there and children, but no couples. So it's difficult because the foundation, you got to work to try to get a right foundation. Not that, you know, I believe they love the Lord, but they have this history of trying to, when they, I don't know if they never heard the truth, but it's just not there. So how do they build from that shaky foundation, if you will? I'm not condemning them, but the facts are there. That's what we see. But except the Lord build the house. So, but I was thinking of, you know, as we build, there's things that we need to cooperate with God. And then we also need to recognize that our survival and our sustenance has to be from him on a daily basis. We need to depend on God. And that's what I was saying, that we live in a land where you kind of make your own way. And it breeds an independence where men, if you can't make it, it's your fault. Don't look for help from me. That's the nation we live in. So along with that comes a lack of dependence on God for today. It's very strong in this land. And then we also need to understand that if we cooperate with God, that He is willing to keep us. He desires to keep us. It says here that in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says that, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." And I think that, you know, some verses about depending upon God. It says that in Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And then Jesus said in John 3:27, or John the Baptist said this. This was where they was questioned his authority, I believe. I think I'd like to turn to that in John 3. There's some verses there that was a blessing as I read over them about, this would have been John the Baptist giving a little message there in John chapter 3. The truth be told, this is where it's at. John, it says in verse 25 of John chapter 3. It says here, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." This was Christ. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Do we recognize that truth? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So I believe John had a true example of humility, recognizing that his very life depended on what came from heaven. May we find ourselves there. Then look here at what he says further on. He says, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Do we have that heart? "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." I think we'll quit reading there, but the verse I wanted was, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Remember those words. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." These are eternal truths that God would have us to acknowledge Him in all that we attempt to do. That's what I think. "For without me you can do nothing." Not in 2 Corinthians 3:5, it says that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. When we come to that place where that we need to depend on Him. But we need to trust the Lord that He's also our keeper. I believe that, you know, in Paul and all his letters, I don't believe any of us faced any of the afflictions that he faced. Not near. And yet he could say in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." that day being the day of judgment when we will stand before him. The Lord is able to keep what we commit to him. Those are some rich promises. Then I think of in Psalm 127 there, I would like to, by God's grace, just take that verse and maybe we could transfer that to from our homes to the church. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The watchman, we could transfer that to the elders or the ministers. And you know, I believe that if we can gather many ministers and elders around, but if our heart is not to glorify God in every situation, it'll be in vain. That's for me first. I remember when I was a rebellious young man. It sticks out in my life. I never forgot it. We was up there beside the reservoir, and as youth would be, we were having a party, and there's a car stopped by the road there, and an old man ambled up the lane. It was Ellis Roth. Some of you know him, some of you don't. But he said, "Now, boys, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." And he turned around and walked out of the lane. Eternal truth. I've never forgotten it, and I believe it was the hand of the Lord. We were ashamed standing there. I'd like to turn to, if we could transfer that scripture to the church, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 3:10. It's just for an encouragement for all of us. I don't have any new scriptures here this morning, but I thought I'd just like to, 1 Corinthians 3:10 is that verse that each man should, let me turn to it. Yeah, speaking of about, it says, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me," verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." In other words, we need to pay attention how we attempt to build our house. And then he says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." But I think that in the church, I am always so encouraged when I turn to Ephesians. And then later on, that is one of the letter or churches that received a letter from the Lord in Revelations there. But let's turn to Ephesians a little bit. Spend a portion of time there. Ephesians, I think we're going to break in here, maybe in chapter 2. There's a few verses I've been looking at this, a few verses that I've really struck my heart here lately. Here again, God gives us a clear direction and promises of what we want to remember, that Ephesians, the strong theme is that there's unity among the brethren. That's the strongest theme going through that book. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 8. And skip a few verses, and in verse 8, now God, he gives some clear definitions of why here, for us to understand as to why God designed the church the way he did. And, you know, I think it's one of the most important principles. It is the avenue of communication that God has chosen, that he would have a church that would be an example of this in Ephesians, that his witness would be what he wants it to be. That's the important thing we need to understand. That the God is not about, I want to be careful how I say this, but he's not about an individualistic salvation. He wants men saved, but he wants men to come together after they're saved to build the body of Christ. It's just there. You can't circumvent it. It's just there. It's his design. So let's look at, I don't know where to break in here. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1. And let's read in chapter 1, verse 10. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And he's talking about the mystery that he made known and God's design and his purpose, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And then he goes on to, in verse 8 of chapter 2, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There again, we need to be thankful, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember, it's good to sometimes in our life to reflect back on these words. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now he's going to go on and talk about the Jews and the Gentiles and the difference of how God broke that down. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. We can learn from those verses today. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He's still speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles, that God is not a respecter of persons. He wants to make that clear. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Reminding us all that we were afar off from God. And he chose the Jews to bring his plan to fulfillment, but they still needed the Lord. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. He's speaking of togetherness. He's speaking of not a me, myself, and I, but a blending of myself with brethren that were fitly framed together. That is so contrary to anything we see all around us. Nobody wants to be fitly framed together. And I heard a brother say the other day that when we build a building, you know, in order for We have specs and the walls are so high, but just about every board needs to be cut to fit. It's something to think about. In the body of Christ, in the building together, every board needs a cutting off to be fitly framed together. And it talks about that if we can surrender our hearts to this, that we get built together. We're builded together. And then guess what? God lives here. It's a habitation of God through the Spirit. What a promise. I think that we need to think on these things a little more. And then he goes on to say in chapter 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, they're almost, you cannot get to the end of them. You cannot get to the end of them. You can't find them out, the amount of them. But listen how he tells us that we can learn of them. And he says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to this intent, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." That's one of the key verses today for all of you to take home, myself included. "That might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Who in here would like to take the opportunity to describe the manifold wisdom of God? How that he operates the universe. He operates the seas. He operates the rain and the showers and the seas that grow from the land. And he brings forth fruit unto harvest. I couldn't get done all day in just seeing the things that I see with my eyes, let alone the things I don't see with my eyes. But he says here that he wants to make these things known, his manifold wisdom, to give us understanding to the church. Think about that. The promise of God. This was his intention, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. When you think of a manifold, most of you guys know what a manifold is, but it's something like this that tees off like that, like that, like that, and it all has one source. The manifold wisdom of God. He wants to make that known. We should have it reversed, God up here, but he wants to make that known to the church. And then not only this, when these fingers here, they should be going out like this. God has that wisdom, and he delights in, he wants to grant that to the church. He promised that he would. And I'm speaking of just spiritual wisdom to grant us, and I believe he has, you know, give us discernment on how to deal with things in life. We face challenges every day, relationship challenges, challenges in the workplace, in our homes. Right discernment with our children come to us, and situations we face and come and how to deal with them with a right spirit. God wants to give us those things. The manifold wisdom of God, He wants to grant us. Next verse says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's intention, God's plan, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And you know, the thing that we can, if we humbly come before God and ask Him, He will answer. We have access to Him by faith. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not, not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, this is Paul. He says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of in heaven and earth is named. Here he brings that word in family. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to understand or comprehend with all saints, here again, it's together, with all saints, what is the breadth, the width, the length, and depth, and height. Up, down, sideways, that we can have an understanding and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Not just a partial filling or a, you know, it's speaking of a group of brethren that are blended in their hearts, that we could be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That this principle that He has set before us here is eternal, and it will be in place without end. It's eternal. Throughout all ages, world without end. And God, if we could just surrender our hearts and say, yes, Lord, this is what I want. I believe we would be amazed at what the Lord would do to the church here at Allen County. I believe sincerely. He is able to exceed what we expect. Think about that. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, what we can't even imagine in our minds, God can excel that. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. I think it comes back to, you know, do I have personal agendas or do I want the Lord glorified? It comes down to those everyday choices. We can humble ourselves and glorify the Lord, speak of the Lord when the Lord gives us opportunities in places we go, people we meet. That's his design. And then a few verses here yet in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 13, he says that he gives the callings there in this, ahead of that, the gift of grace we have, the measure of the gift of Christ. In the body of Christ, we need to understand that me personally needs to have a high regard for the gift of my brother. I need to understand that he has a gift in particular. He's important to the body of Christ. I need to have that settled in my heart, that he's valuable for the body of Christ and he's valuable to me. Each one of the members, we're all members in particular. We all have a right, we have a, I don't know how to get this clear, but we're members, we're specific members of the body of Christ, members in particular. And, you know, we need to, by God's grace, find our calling. And it says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then when we do that, we strive to that. It says he can give us a steady road. He can give us a clear course. It says here that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, I think we can all identify with that. The world lies in wait, the enemy. He lies in wait, and he has many avenues to try to deceive brethren or the church, and he's waiting to do that. But if we have submitted to his previous plan here that he gives us, we don't have to worry about that. We can have a steady course until we all come to that measure of the stature. But speak the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And I believe that this plan here, or these words, are not just for a local fellowship that we have a maintenance plan for ourselves, how to hold things together for ourselves. No, God has more than that. If we submit to this, then the body is designed to grow, expand, to brought to the knowledge of the Savior. That's his design. It's not that we have a church that their sole purpose is to inner maintenance, if we will, for lack of a better term. And I know that's important, but if that's our only focus, we're going to be in trouble. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I think it'd do us well just to read the rest of the scripture. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, I think about that. Sometimes we get questions from the outside. Well, what about this or that? What's happening here? It would do us well to speak the truth. I remember after I was converted that it was just a blessing to look every man in the eye and say, if there's something you want to know about me, just ask me. I'm free to tell you. It might not be pretty, but I'm free to tell you. And by God's grace, it's still that way today. But sometimes when there's questions arise about the direction of the church or why is this going on, I believe we need to go back to these scriptures and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, that by God's grace, we can speak the truth about our brother in the church, that it's a good truth. We can speak words of encouragement. He says, yes, that's a dear brother. We don't need to scratch our head and say, well, I'm not sure which direction he's going. And then the theme, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and I know that some of these things, even after we're converted, these things can rise up. But he tells us here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And these are principles, but I'd like to turn to speaking of unity of the believers in John chapter 14. It was Jesus's what they sometimes label as the high priestly prayer. But in the end of that, he prayed this way, in this manner, and I think that it'd do us well to just keep that in mind. And let's begin reading in John chapter 17, verse 14. We could read a little more now, but let's just begin reading in verse 14 of John 17. I have given them, this is Jesus praying to his Father. I have given them thy word, speaking about the apostles. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. I believe that that can be for us today, that the word of God is the truth, and it will sanctify us in our Christian walk. And for their sakes, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, the preaching of the apostles brought many believers. Christ prayed for them, us, that they all, listen to this, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I think of those words there. That is, if there's unity among the brethren, that will make the world believe that God sent the Lord. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. We'll quit reading there, but I think that that was one of the latter of Christ's prayers, speaking of unity in the church. And I think of, if we can humble our hearts as we attempt to build our houses, build our homes, and build our churches, that God has a way for us. It's not that God has given us some blurry thing or obscure thing, but he gives clear direction for every calling in this room here. Children, you have clear direction. You little boys and girls, God has, I think that sometimes we take things for granted where you have a mom and dad in your house and they desire to teach you the ways of the Lord. When I look at places like Haiti or even in this land, there's the homes that have a mother and father in place are rapidly diminishing clear across the universe. It's because men have turned away from these principles of building the Lord, except the Lord build the house, men are laboring in vain. So I think about that. I'd like to just turn to Revelation chapter 2 yet, and keep in mind that this was the church at Ephesians that Paul had given this direction to. And see what took place there. Revelation chapter 2. It says, verse 1 of Revelation chapter 2, that unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, I believe what he means there is that we've carried some burdens, or they were able to carry some hard burdens. They had forbearance. Hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. A lot of commendations there. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I don't know what, I think of these scriptures here, of all the commendations. There's a side note here that says that this church was sound in doctrine, but deficient in love. And I don't know that sometimes when there's situations arise in churches among brethren or differences, this verse 4 here is usually what receives the blame, maybe we could say. That it's easy to put things on that verse. That thou hast left thy first love. And I believe that can really happen, but maybe we look at that just a little bit wrong. I think, I've just been pondering that verse. I believe that we can have the thing that I feel sometimes is we look at that leaving or left that first love as you're not willing to overlook my disobedience. Could that be? Because I believe that as brethren, we need to, by God's grace, be able to give admonishment and receive admonishment. If we get to the place in life where we can't do that, I think that is one of the major keys of losing that first love. Just let it go. Now, I believe that that there's a calling and accountability to each brother, but each brother has a responsibility to tend to the body. Attend to the body. God does not have a finger on my hand to just be a finger on my hand. He wants that finger to be connected to the body and to do what's necessary. And sometimes we look at that. I don't believe that, though, it's easy to have that crutch where we throw things on that pile of, well, the problem is they left their first love. That's what's wrong. But remember that God is a detailed God, and He's detailed in the functioning of his body. We're to have a fervent love among ourselves. We need to be able to address things that are in front of us, and also forgive and forbear. Be long-suffering. These things are, it says that he commended them for their patience, and for my name's sake, they labored, and they weren't fainting. They were still strong. And it's easy in this life to grow weary and actually faint and say, Lord, what's the use? But that's not the heart of God. He wants us to call upon him and to walk forward in faith. And I think of, you know, God forbid that we would be obviously erring in doctrine and cast it onto the left or first love pile. We need to have right, sound doctrine. Jesus said in John, 1 John 3, that if any man have not the doctrine of Jesus Christ, depart from him or get away from him. How does he say that? In 1 John chapter 3. You know, let's just turn to that if I can find that right away. I believe that sound doctrine cannot be separated from the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of 2nd Epistle of John, it's a second epistle, it says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. He would have us to be awoke and alert. You know, we can't... I believe that doctrine is very important, but it needs to be undergirded by the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. And I'm not insinuating anything here, just some thoughts have been going through my mind of that was what he had against that church. And also, the letter was to the angel, which would be the minister, but it was to all the brethren. He called, and that's the way the Lord, he addresses, you know, if there's things that aren't like they should be or we think they should be, it's part of me. It's part of my responsibility. And I think that God would have us, if we are willing to abide in those specifics there in Ephesians, that is, I think, goes very strongly in our favor that we can make our calling and election sure, as it says there in Peter. That we may dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, this is, we need to look at the church as the Lord's house, and may we do all that we do for his glory. I think that is all I have for this morning. May the Lord bless each one of you. And if there was something shared that was questionable or not according to the Word of God, well, I would like to have that made known. So thank you for your time.